The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Kieran Mazaria, CEO of Cadence Minerals, KDNC ticker. Kieran, thanks for joining me.
Pleasure as always, Justin.
Yeah, and it's I know you're travelling, you're out to Brazil, so we'll talk about that in a bit, but the news out more recently is you've granted an option to Castillo Copper to acquire some of the lithium projects there in Australia, and we'll talk about that. But before we do, as always, like, there's lots of things going on. Just explain for people maybe not that familiar with Cadence what it's all about, please, Kieran.
Yes, absolutely. So Cadence Minerals is an investment company listed on AIM. We've been investing for a long time now in the critical metal sector. So that's the sector that is going to be powering the electrification of our vehicles. So in lithium, in rare earths, those are one of our big assets in lithium. And we've also got investments or potential investments, hopefully to crystallize soon, in the iron ore sector with the Amapa Iron Ore.
Excellent stuff. Cool. Okay, well, let's get into the recent bit of news. You granted an option to Castillo Copper to acquire the Litchfield and Picasso lithium projects in Australia. Take us through the details of this and then explain why you've done this.
Absolutely. So these two projects, the lithium Picasso and Litchfield, are two prospects in Australia. And what we've done is Castillo Copper, they've partnered with Castillo Copper. They've got an option to acquire those projects 100% in exchange for equity into Castillo Copper in staged payments. So we've got around sort of 28% of these projects, and if successful, over a period of time, we would get 29% of $3 million worth of Castillo Copper shares. So that's the deal as it is at the moment. They've got 90 days due diligence. They can exercise it anywhere in between now and the end of the 90 days. And that's what they're embarking on right now. There's around 600 samples that are going out from our sampling program that are going out to be assayed to see if they've got trace metals and indications of lithium, and where we've sampled some pegmatites to see what those lithium grades are like. As to the rationale, lots of people say, why are you vending this asset? Well, this asset is an asset that we looked at in 2000. Well, actually, we started looking at this way before that. But when we talked about being masters of our own destiny, being more in control of what we're going to do. And, you know, we had two assets on the burn. One of them is a Amapa, which we're heavily involved in. And one was this. So in the longer term, you know, a lot of our management time is going to be focused on, you know, developing a Amapa project. And that's delivering value to our shareholders and has delivered value to our shareholders over the last couple of years. And so therefore, you know, we thought that by divesting this or potentially divesting this, we get exposure to copper assets as well. Again, part of the critical metal mix into electrification of vehicles. And we have there's a management team there already looking to develop that asset. So we basically de-risk our exposure to just one project, i.e. these lithium projects, and still have exposure to copper. And we also de-risk our management timing execution risk by someone else doing it. And we also de-risk the capital requirements from us, because the previous deal, the next stage of development that we'd have to put in for drilling targets would have been about £1.3 million to start drilling, when we've got Castillo Copper, who have that capital already. And, you know, there's no dilution to the project per se.
Yeah, excellent stuff. So you're still interested there and all that stuff. And I know what people are going to say here, though. I mean, everyone's always interested in the MAP project, and you're on your way to Brazil. So how are things progressing there, Kieran?
Yeah, I'm on my way. I think I did another interview last week, and I was on my way there. I think, unfortunately, because of Brazil restrictions, I'm spending, you know, 14 days in quarantine at the moment in Portugal. So that's what I'm doing. So I'll be on my way actually on Sunday, actually, and then out to there. Look, the primary reasons there, as I said beforehand, is that, you know, we have every confidence that we're going to complete with the banks in the future. But what we're doing right now, and because we have that confidence, is, you know, ramping up those studies. So effectively, we've got to get our PFS done as quickly as possible to put an economic value around it, an up-to-date economic value around this asset, which will be published to shareholders so shareholders understand that. And so we're doing all the PFS studies. So we're nearing the completion of the PFS railway study. We're nearing the completion of the engineering conditioning study to bring the plant back up to its old production. And we've now got to commission the mining study, mine planning engineering study, and of course the port study. So alongside that, I'm going to be involved with that, intimately involved in that. And also, we're setting up all the policies. Not only are we just doing this company a study company, are you doing all the studies? It's also operational, are you shipping material? At the moment, we're shipping third-party material and getting paid for it. Therefore, we have to set up all the systems, processes associated with effectively what is now a profitable company that once we crystallise a settlement agreement with the banks, we will own 20% of.
Yeah. And time-wise, what's your thoughts there? I mean, it's hard to pin down timelines, isn't it? But any idea of when all this is happening and when these will be achieved?
So if you're talking about the pre-feasibility studies,
yeah.
And particularly, I would say 6 months from the point of the settlement of the banks, that would be our latest timeline. And if you're asking the settlement banks, I've been trying to be drawn into timelines. I would just say that, as I said beforehand, that's really not on our side. We're waiting on full credit and final credit approval from the banks. There's one bank which is remaining. And once that is done, the settlement agreement, I think, it's in near final form. So that will follow very soon after. So we'll announce when the credit committees have completed that, and then we'll announce when we sign the settlement agreement. But I said before, I believe it's a fait accompli. Unfortunately, the banks have a very long administrative process, which has been highly frustrating for us, for me personally. As I've said to people, I wish they'd done it, a year ago, because by the way, by this time, we would have progressed so much further. We've been through our PFS studies, we'd be going to BFS studies, we'd be, some capital construction. So it's incredibly frustrating for us as shareholders, as potential shareholders, and for me being involved intimately with this project, trying to move it forward as quickly as possible.
Yes. But you're confident, yeah?
Oh, absolutely, yes. I've said before, and I've said for a while, that I believe it's a fait accompli in terms of getting this deal done. And that's because I see the process. The majority of the banks have approved the settlement agreement, and the actual settlement agreement is, near final form. As I said, it's legalese that we're talking about in small, it's actually legal terms that they're discussing, drafting terms almost, rather than anything else.
Yeah. And just for people, go on.
Yes, I think I reiterate the point. From when we announced the settlement agreement in principle in September last year, there's been no commercial negotiation. The amount and value of the settlement agreement hasn't changed. The timing of the settlement agreement and how we're going to, when the project's going to pay it back and how the project's going to pay, none of those three key terms, which are material for us as investors and shareholders, haven't changed. So it's not like we've been negotiating points. It's just been a process that the banks, unfortunately, take their time around.
Yeah. And just for people, it's always good to underline why people are so interested in MAPA. What's the potential there for you, Kieran?
It's pretty simple. I put it into it. Look, this asset was valued on the books by Anglo America at $600 million. When we looked at investing at this asset, it was around in iron ore was at $85 a ton. It's now around $100 a ton. Our way of earning in is that, put it this way, for $6 million, we'll get 27% of this asset that was worth $600 million. And it's an asset that's integrated. So it is, it's not like we're building everything from the beginning. We have a port, a railway, and mine, and a known resource. So it's de-risks in a lot of manners. And we don't have to build all that infrastructure. So the capital expenditure will be far less. We have a a supportive government, supportive people, supportive populace within Namapa. So I think there's a lot of things going for it, which substantially de-risk the asset. And while with our investment structure, it allows plenty of uplift for our investments. So it's a good asset. Ultimately, you know, we hopefully producing around 5.3 million tons of 65% iron ore, which is a higher grade, higher price. And with the long-term sort of monetary and fiscal easing and the infrastructure projects that we're seeing in America, we still see a strong, you know, a strong demand for iron and steel. Look, maybe not at $200 a ton, which was heavily driven by some speculative trading in China, but you know, around this 100 to 85 to 100, I think that's a really good place to be, and I think that's probably a more long-term sustainable price for iron ore.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Marvellous stuff. Well, Kieran, you know the score here. For people, you know, liking the sound of the progress you're making there, but are not yet following the story, please give them three quick reasons why they should hit that follow button on your page and add you to their watch list, please.
Absolutely. So the three reasons is invest the following cadence. You'll see exposures to the lithium with our exposure to European metals holdings, which we just have below 9% of that asset. So all the critical metals that we've been investing in. We also have our not what we call our private assets, which we have JVs with a rare earth project in Australia. And another lithium, Bacanora. We've got a 30% JV with Bacanora, which has been taken over by Ganfeng. And lastly, which we've just talking about, Amapa. So, you know, those three areas, we've got a portfolio of project, diversified and de-risk, given that their development, they're not early stage exploration projects. They're all at sort of PFS, BFS standard. And, you know, they've all got... you know, they've all been have great positive MPVs. Of course, a mapper to be determined once we get our PFS report out.
Yeah, marvellous stuff. Kieran, it's good to chat to you, and hopefully we'll catch up in the not-too-distant future. Have a nice journey and trip back, and we'll speak when you get back, hopefully.
Okay, cheers, Justin. Thank you.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.